Psalm 145, starting in verse 1, it says this: I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. You can be seated. So when I read this psalm, this is a favorite psalm of mine, just because I do and serve as a generational pastor here. I oversee student ministry and college ministry and global missions here at Parkway. And this verse, or this passage of scripture, this psalm, means a lot to me because it talks about the importance of sharing God's greatness, sharing God's mighty acts to the next generations that follow us. As a student pastor and as someone who has studied this generation, we call it Generation Z. Currently, Generation Z, the generation in and of itself only has about a 4% biblical worldview. That's down from about a 6% biblical worldview from my generation, the millennials, and then that's even down from an 8% biblical worldview from the generation before me. And so we see this decline of having a biblical worldview in our generations. And here's what's important, and here's what this psalm talks about. We need older generations pouring into our younger generations. We need folks to come alongside of our young people who are living Jesus out faithfully in front of them, who are confidently sharing the gospel to them, and who are walking life with them. I hear all the time, well, I'm just too old to work with students. No, you're not. All right? Don't come to me and give me that excuse, because I'm going to tell you, no, you're not. All right? We need now, more than ever, we need generations pouring in to our students. We need older generations pouring into our children. We need you to come alongside of us and tell us of the great things and the mighty acts of the Lord, so that we don't end up like a Judges 2 generation, where a whole generation comes through and they have no idea who Jesus is. They have no idea who God is. They have no idea what he offers them. So that's not why I'm up here to talk, though. that's just something the Lord stirred in me, because I love that psalm so much. If you have your bulletin, your handout, what I want you to do is I want to draw your attention to this. I want you to go ahead and rip off the little bracelet there. Go ahead and rip that off and go ahead and put that on one of your wrists. What that is a name of either a student, a teenager, a child, or an adult going to Infuge or CentraKid this week. We want every single participant going on either of those trips starting tomorrow to be prayed for this week. So you are going to wear that name all week this week, hopefully. I know it's paper, so it might fall off. But for as long as you can this week, I want you to wear that as a reminder to pray for that name that is written on that bracelet. So wear that bracelet proudly this week. Pray over that name, even at random times, as God lays it on your heart. Pray for that name. And then pray that God would open up opportunities for you to tell other people why you're wearing an orange name tag or wearing an orange bracelet with a random name on it. And God can use that to open up gospel conversations for you. So that's why that's there. The bigger sheet at the back of the bulletin, you can rip that off as well. We're going to reference this sheet, this handout, a lot this morning. So this is kind of your guide for this morning. So I want you to have that and be ready to go to that as well. We're going to watch a video of a guy named Jackson Carlisle, as Pastor Derek said. A few years ago, I found out about an awesome program that our North American Mission Board offers called Generation Send. They call it Gen Send for short. And it's an opportunity for college students to work alongside of church planters in one of 32 send cities all over North America. There's about four or five of those cities in Canada, and then several of those larger metropolitan areas in our country. And right now, our North American Mission Board is focused on planting churches that plant churches within those cities, because what they're seeing is now more of an influx into the cities instead of an outflux out of the cities. And so what they're doing is they're being very strategic and intentional in reaching these cities by planting churches. And what Gen Send allows college students to do is during their spring breaks, their winter breaks, and their summer breaks, they are able to go and work alongside of church plants and church planters in these cities to carry out the good news of Jesus. And so I began praying once I found out about this program that NAM offers. I began praying, like, God, would you raise up someone from Parkway? Would you do a work in someone from Parkway's life that they would feel called and led to go and be a part of Gen Send? Because it's just an amazing program. And in fact, they pretty much pay for everything. They essentially pay you to go and work alongside church planters. And so 2 years ago, we went to Montreal, and the Carlisles were members here for a while. They moved down to Alabama. Now they've relocated to the Raleigh area. And Jackson, their son, was with us, and we got to meet some Gen Senders that were working alongside church planters that we were working with there in Montreal, and got to talking with them and got to find out more information and ended up going. And so this video is of him. He's in Boston this summer for the second summer in a row. And so we're going to hear a little bit from him about what Gen Send is, how God called him there, how God led him there, and what God's allowing him to do while he's there. I will warn you, the wind is a little loud in this video, so you might have to just kind of pay attention a little bit to hear what he has to say. But watch this video of Jackson Carlisle serving in Boston this summer.
Hey, Parkway. My name is Jackson Carlisle, and I want to start by thanking Mike and the other pastors for allowing me to share a little bit about Gen Send and about my summer so far in Boston. I also want to thank them for making an impact in my life. I actually went to Parkway at middle school and was a part of the youth group, and then moved to Alabama, and now I go to college at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, and I'm currently spending my summer in Boston with an organization called Gen Send, which sends college students to big cities in the U.S., and Mike gave me a list of questions, and I'm going to do my best to answer them and kind of help everyone, especially though those about to head off to college, what Gen Send is and why you should spend your summer doing it. I heard about Gen Send actually on the Montreal trip through Parkway. I learned about it, and I knew it's something I wanted to do in college. I ended up doing it last summer and then coming back again to Boston this summer, and I've really enjoyed it. The heart behind me going on mission was really just because, it's probably best said that the reason I came back this summer after last summer was because I realized how great a need there is for the gospel we preached in Boston. Most people don't know this, but the North American Mission Board would say that Boston is under 3% evangelical Christian. So that means if you saw 100 people on the street, only 2 to 3 of them would identify as Christian or believe in the gospel. And a lot of these people have never had a clear gospel presentation. A lot of them believe in works-based salvation and not in the life and resurrection of Jesus paying for our sins. So that was really sad to me to see that last summer and just to understand that there is unreached people, where there are unreached people right in our backyard in America. The process is really just to apply through sinrelief.net. And through that, you'll go through just a pretty brief application process in the fall. And then they'll call you in the spring and they'll ask you really where you want to go. And there's like 20 to 30 cities, and really all of them are great, but I personally just really love Boston. I would totally recommend it to college age kids, because for me, I've been able to grow myself and to just see God work in amazing ways. So I'll just share a quick story to help everyone be able to just kind of see what I'm doing. The other day I was leaving work. I get to work in a coffee shop here, which is like amazing. It's incredible. But I was leaving work, and I was walking toward a pier, and I saw this guy sitting up there alone. And so I went over there to ask him a couple questions. We're supposed to kind of contextualize the community we're in. And so I was asking him just about his spiritual background. And he spoke very broken English, so I was having to use Google Translate on my phone, actually, to communicate with him. And for some reason, God blessed the conversation, and I didn't really understand much about what he was saying, but he said he'd like to meet again and just kind of get to know me better and talk about his faith and what he believed. And so I was able to bring a friend of mine who's also doing Gen Send, who speaks Spanish. And through that conversation, he opened about his testimony and just kind of his story. And then my friend from Gen Send shared his testimony and shared the entire gospel with this individual. And it was just incredible. He still is not a believer. He's got some pretty intense struggles, but we all have struggles with sin. And we've had plenty of conversations with him since then. And like just to develop that friendship with him and just to get to know him better and be able to continually speak life and speak gospel into his life like two or three times already this summer has been amazing. So continue to pray for him. His name is Carlos, and I'll be praying for salvation for him. And I also want to say one more thing. Jensen doesn't really, it's not all about just going and sharing the gospel. It's just about living your life on mission. So when I go to the gym, when I go to the park to play basketball, when I go to the coffee shop, I'm just living in the overflow of what God's done for me. And usually, I would say almost always, God provides a way for us to be able to share out of that. So thank you guys so much. Thanks for praying for me. And yeah, I would totally encourage anyone in college or about to go into college to please do Jensen. It's going to be well worth it. Thank you, guys.
Can we give God praise for what he's doing there? A couple things that he said. He talked about a coffee shop that he works in. That coffee shop is actually owned by the church that he works with, and they run a coffee shop in the city as a mission point so that they can run into people like this guy, Carlos, that they were able to run into and share the gospel. And another thing I want to point to is he talks about just living life on mission. I was able to talk to Jackson about 4 weeks ago, and he was telling me about a story while he was on the subway going to work, and he lives about an hour outside of the city, so he has to commute, and he sat down next to a younger lady, and he just kind of striked up some conversation, and he told her what he was doing, and she told him, well, you know what, I'm very leery of you. I'm very leery of your type. And so he goes, okay, well, why? And so they got into a conversation where he was able to lay out the gospel. She didn't become a believer, but she saw someone and was able to have a conversation with someone that she was leery about at first, but came to find out and realized that he was a normal person who just had a passion for Jesus and wanted her to know about it. And so this program, I'm telling you, is an amazing program for our young people to be a part of, and excited to see what God will continue to do with that program, and excited to see what God will continue to do in and through Jackson. So what I want to do right now is just pray for Jackson, pray for Carlos as well, and pray for the Jensen program, and pray for more people, even from Parkway, to be a part of that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the way that you are working and moving around our world. Lord, we thank you specifically, Lord, for the church planters, Lord, that are spread out all around this country and all around this continent, God. And we lift them up to you this morning, many of them having their own services, Lord, in their particular context, God. And Father, we thank you for their partnership. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the partnerships that we have in Montreal. God, we thank you for the partnerships that we have here locally with Resonate Church and The Way Church out in Short Pump getting ready to launch. Lord, I thank you for other opportunities to come alongside of church planters and serve them, to pray for them, and God, just to simply encourage them. Lord, I do lift up Jackson to you this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that he was faithfully obedient to the call that you had given him to go, Lord, to Boston last year, and then again this year, Lord, to serve alongside of church planters and believers there in a very spiritually lost city, God, that is very foundational, honestly, to our nation's history. And so, God, I pray that you just be with him, that you guide him, Lord, that you open up more opportunities for him to speak your name boldly. Lord, we lift up Carlos to you, God, this young man that he was able to minister to and talk with. God, I pray that you would just continue to do a work in his heart. God, that he would continue to have conversations with Jackson and others, Lord, that point him to the saving truth of your gospel. So, Father, we thank you so much for these opportunities that you've given us, God, to go. We pray that you would raise up more people to go and to be called out from our midst, Lord, to go and share the good news of Jesus with those around the world. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's exciting and encouraging to see God moving in the lives of college students.
Hey. Are you happy to be together, body of Christ? I am, man. It's just good to be together. It's so much fun. God has done great things. I mean, as we're sitting there singing these songs, I'm thinking about all the things just we've experienced so far. It's a great thing that we have a former middle school student who left here and moved, their family moved south, And then God worked in his life to say, hey, I want you to be a summer missionary working alongside church planters in Boston. That's a great thing, isn't it? I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great thing that, one, I'm going to heaven. Like, I mean, I'm not going to hell. And I know we say that. We're like, yeah, Pastor, do you understand that's what life's all about? Like, do you understand that the fact that Christ has come and paid for your sins, that he has left us a book that is the living word of God, that is a great thing. It is a great thing that we can gather together freely, even if it's a little stuffy today. Amen. Even if it's a little warm out, aren't you glad we're at least in the shade? Amen, right? That's a great thing. It's a great thing that we are a body of Christ. It's a great thing to be part of the family of God. I made a few notes just to remind myself of the great things of God. I know earlier this year we talked about keeping a journal of like all the things we should be thankful for. I just made a list in thinking about the great things of God because Pastor Jonathan read it earlier in verse 5. It says, on your wondrous works I will meditate. I wonder how many times we meditate on our problems and not the wondrous works of God. It says, they, meaning the people of God, shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. Like one of the things I loved about Jackson's testimony is that he said whether he was in a coffee shop or whether he was working, and by the way, his working in a coffee shop, that coffee shop is owned by the church, right, Pastor Mike? And that's part of how they're ministering the community. So whether I'm playing basketball, I get to speak of the might of God and his awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. So I just thought about the life of Parkway Baptist Church, as us as a collective body of Christ. Some of you guys have been here for about 15, 16 years, maybe some of you even 17 years. If you've been here 18 years, you're a liar. Okay? Because the church isn't that old, all right? And then some of us have been here about 8 weeks. A few of us, this is your first Sunday. And if it's your first Sunday here at Parkway, on behalf of the body of Christ, can I just say welcome? We're thrilled that you're here. All of us in this room were where you were at some point over the last 17 years, that was our first time at Parkway as well. And we were welcomed by this body of Christ. We were loved by this body of Christ. And so we hope you experience the same thing. If you miss the food, there might still be some outside. Maybe. We'll see. So I just made a list. Here are the things. I'm thankful for my own personal salvation and the fact that we can gather together in free unity in the United States of America. I am thankful that Parkway was planted at Grange Hall Elementary School 17 years ago. I'm thankful for that. You may not know this or not, but we sit on one of the most ridiculous gifts of land that I have ever read about or heard in the life of churches. The land that you sit on was given to us by God at Christmas of 2003. 37 and a half acres we were going to purchase. And then we got a phone call from our lawyer the Friday before. He said, someone has anonymously purchased this land and given it to you, and it's been sealed, and you'll never know who. Amen. That's something to say thank God for, right? You know? And for the life of me, I always find it humorous that people try to figure out who it was. Or I know who it was. You know, I know who it was, too. His name is Jesus, all right? And so let's just leave it at that. Amen? I you may not remember this or not, one of the things I'm thankful for, we marched. So one of the reasons why we even have a God in Countries Day or a Neighbors in Nations Day is the school occasionally would drain itself of its air conditioning and then refill it back up. I don't know how that works. I really don't. And so we did worship outside. And so one of the years that we weren't going to be able to use the school, we worshiped outside on this 4th of July Sunday. And so it stuck. We were like, hey, let's keep this. This is great. And so one of those Sundays, we marched from there when we were planting this campus or when we were building this building. We marched down Beaver Bridge Road and came into here. How do you remember that? You remember marching down this road and doing that? Man, that was so much fun. That's one of the things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that our founding pastor is the lead pastor of our state missions organization, the SBCB. Like, that just makes me giddy, all right? That he is so faithfully following Christ, that his family still worships here. Jennifer and the kids, we love you guys. I love the fact that his son, Mark, is flying in at midnight tonight and going to Fuge tomorrow. That's either borderline insanity or excited about Jesus. I'm thankful that God gave our leaders 2 years ago. He gave us 9 prayer points that at 10:02 every day and 9:38 every day, I hear alarms go off whenever I'm with this body of Christ somewhere, whether I'm in a Walmart or a church building or in my home, alarms go off and people are clamoring to see who can pray first. I love that. I'm thankful that missionaries have been called out of this church to be missionaries not only among our neighbors, but also the nations. Folks like Tim and Amy, and I'm trying to figure out if I can use their names safely right now. I don't think I can. So Aman and Shanti, folks like Mike and Jane. And I'm just thankful for that. Thankful for Nick and Jim. I'm thankful for what we're going to talk about right now. I'm thankful for the fact that God has called Parkway to be part of church plants. And for the first time, we believe God is calling us to plant a campus. So about a year and a half ago, God gave us land at Conexion right off of Arch Road. And Conexion, the Spanish-speaking church, has been meeting there. We kind of co-own that church building together. And they've been doing services there. And they've been asking us for the last year and a half, when are you starting an English-speaking campus? And we're like, soon, soon, soon. So we believe God's given us a date. We're going to start an English-speaking campus there on Easter of 2020. So while we have the whole family together in one day, we wanted to make that big announcement. But we kind of leaked it early. We sent an email, so hopefully you guys got that. If you didn't, surprise! Anyway, but we're excited about what God's doing. It's like Parkway's expecting. We're giving birth to a new campus. No, we will not be piping my sermon over there if that's one of your first thoughts is, well, who's going to preach? The guy sitting to my left is going to be preaching at Parkway North. Aren't you excited about that? I am. So Pastor Mac, why now? Why should Parkway plant a campus now or start a campus now? I know you told me not to use the word plant. I can't help it, so I'm sorry. It just comes out. So why should we start a campus now?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I've been here about 18 years. I'm a lying pastor. Well, you know, the kids sang it. The kids sang it just a few minutes ago. Go, go, go. And, you know, we shouted it. And I believe that God is a calling God. And when God dials your number, he wants you to answer.
Yeah.
And I feel like now's the time. He wants his body to answer. Yes. This is my new assignment. And I think it's time for us as a family, Karen and I and our family, we've been here 17 years. And I think it's time that God has redeployed us for this mission. And, you know, we talk about neighbors and nations, and they talked about, you know, lostness. I mean, lostness, there are no grades of lostness. I mean, when you're lost, you're lost. You're lost in Bangladesh, you're lost in Boston, you're lost in North Chesterfield. So I believe God wants us to enlarge our neighborhood. We talk about neighborhoods. Most of us think of the area immediately surrounding this building or your particular community. But there's also an RBA. And I believe God wants us to be good stewards of the gospel. And I believe God wants us to enlarge our neighborhood and give us a chance to reach people with the gospel in a more urbanized setting that's more diverse economically, that's more diverse racially, and more diverse culturally. It's really a picture of true gospel community that God wants us to start.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. So Pastor Mac, why a campus and not a church plant?
Okay, and that's an important distinction. And here's the thing, man, I can tell you, we will not answer all the questions you have. I haven't answered all the questions I have yet. To be honest with you. So part of this journey for us is, like, I tend to be administrative. I like to dot the I's and cross the T's. So there's a part of that that I'm already asking questions like, what about, what about, what about? But also there's a journey of faith. I feel a little bit like Abraham when he says, go, and I'll tell you where, and I'll give you more clarity as you go. So for me, there's a little bit of both of that going on. But we feel like a campus, I don't know if you're familiar with this word, but there's a word called tethering. Like when you're tethered to something, and I don't know if I need to use that word because sometimes tethering has an unhealthy connotation to it, But I looked it up, and tethered means closely connected to. And so I feel like as a campus, it allows us to be closely connected to Parkway Moseley. And some things will be the same at the campus. For example, same vision, reaching our neighbors and our nations. That's not going to change. Same DNA, same culture. That's not going to change. Same experience. We hope that when you walk into that campus, if you go there or visit there, you'll be like, man, this feels like Parkway. Yeah. Give you a cheesy example. Like when you walk into a Chick-fil-A, there are thousands of Chick-fil-A's. When you walk into a Chick-fil-A,
you can smell it.
You can smell it.
Yeah.
And when you go there, when you leave, you're like, man, that's Chick-fil-A. Now, the different franchises are different. I mean, depending on the neighborhood, the location, the demographics, the marketing is different there, but you know you've been to Chick-fil-A when you leave. And I pray that when you leave Parkway North, you're like, man, that feels like Parkway. Now, some things will be different. For example, different neighborhood. If you've been to Arch Road off Midlow, it's different than Moseley. Very, very different. So the preaching, we will probably be preaching more than likely like the same type sermon messages, the same text. The application points could differ because the community and the context is different there than here. Prayer points. Man, we plan to really quickly develop prayer points. Some of those might be the same. For example, 3 gospel conversations a day. Man, wherever you go, that's a good prayer goal. But our prayer point is to get out of debt for Parkway Moseley. Well, that church, thankfully, is not in debt. So again, some of those will be individual based on the community and the context. Like students, we don't even know what the student group will look like. So if a student goes to Parkway North, they'll still have access to the gathering, to MFUGE, to VBS, to mission trips, things like that. So it'll be the same and different at the same time. Like two sites, one vision.
Hey, can we say that together? Let's do that. Two sites, one vision. You ready? Here we go. Two sites, one vision. That's it, man. So live preaching in both, similar themes and outlines. Man, I'm excited. All right. So I'm going to ask Karen. Karen, would you come up here? Is Karen around? Oh, there she is. I thought she was this direction. And the children as well. Yeah. The ones that are currently in residence with you. Yeah. The ones that have not been deployed. And I'm going to ask some of our guys and ladies, would you mind just coming and laying hands on them? And we're gonna launch them out. Not yet, but there's a lot of preparation that will take place in the months to come. If you have one of these sheets of paper, actually, that you got, would you pull this out for me? Pull this out. And then on the back, you'll see there's really no back. There's just two sides. One says neighbors and nations mobilize, send, go. And then on the back, it says Parkway North with a launch date of Easter 2020, which is April the 12th. And then there's short-term, mid-term, long-term, and next steps. And we are asking you as a church body that not only we're going to be sending this family, but we're not sending them alone. We're sending them with a nucleus of people who will go either short-term, mid-term, long-term, or next steps. And so let's just go to the Lord and pray and ask that God would have his way in and through all of this. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. God, we thank you for your love. I thank you for Parkway Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you, God, for the way it was planted. God, even as we were talking with our pastors this morning and praying, Lord, our very first logo was a blue word Parkway with a blue compass. And Father, how amazing, God, that you're calling this campus Parkway North. Lord, and the people that we've talked to, Lord, have wanted to put a compass on there, God. So you obviously are doing something. You did something when you gave us and Connexion that land and that building. And God, you don't want it to just be utilized for one purpose, just like this building, God, is not utilized for one purpose. And Lord, we love Pastor Mac and Karen. Father, we love you for their family. God, we thank you for all 6 of their beautiful children. But God, we don't own them. God, you do. And Lord, you want to use them for your glory, Father, in a different part of our city, God. So we thank you that we're not saying goodbye. Lord, we're just commissioning them to a new part of the same vision, God. And so we bless you for that. We thank you that they'll be giving leadership at a different site at Parkway Baptist Church. And Lord, as Pastor Max said, when they walk into that facility there off Arch Road, it'll smell like Parkway, God. And And when people leave, God, our prayer is that they'll smell like Parkway, God. But more than that, God, we pray they smell like Jesus. Lord, we really don't want to, really don't care if they remember Parkway or not, God. What we care about, Lord, is that they meet Jesus. God, we pray that they worship Jesus as they go, Father. And so as we're teaching these little children to go, 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 we also want to model that with our adults as well. God, from the youngest to the oldest. So God, help us to do that well. Lord, we know we've probably got 1,000 questions, Lord. They'll be answered in the time and days as we walk. But Lord, we love you. We trust you, and we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus.
We continue to read together Psalm 145, starting in verse 13. Your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom. In verse 13, it says, your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words, kind in all his works. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, but he also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
So pull out that psalm again, and thank you, sir. You're a good man. The psalm, go back to the beginning. It begins with what four words? It says, I will extol you, right? Say it with me. I will extol you. And then the end, go to that last verse. The last verse says, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Hear me. It is not sufficient. Look up for a moment. Just look at me for a minute. It is not sufficient for just you and me and our children to praise the Lord. So many of us, and I talk to parents all the time, we're like, I just want my children to follow Jesus. And hear me, I do too, all right? I want to put enough kindling around my children's heart that when the match gets struck by the Holy Spirit, when salvation comes into their life and the Holy Spirit breathes life into them, man, I am praying for that day for all of them. Now, four of them have already received Jesus. One of them yet, okay? But my job's not done when that's over. I got to keep feeding that, right, in them. But if that's my only goal, hear me, it's insufficient. That's what Isaiah 42 says. It's insufficient. If that's my goal, it's just, I just want my children to follow Christ. It's not enough. Hear me, it's not enough. Isaiah 42, 6 says that we are obligated to share the truth about the Lord with our Gentile neighbors and nations, and to let the light of Christ shine through us. Like, that's what we're weighted with. And man, it's not a weight. It's freeing. Makes me want to run. Amen? That's why we're flip-flops today. Anyway, so God has compassion on all of us, not just his church. That means God loves a lost world. So say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? His one and only son. That whosoever shall what? Believe on him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God loves the world. So that means we can't keep the truth to ourselves. So Steve Eddy and Candy C, would you come on up here with me? Candy C is one of our field workers in Harvest Partners in South Asia. And so welcome, Candy. Aren't you glad that she's here? I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being here today. So come on up. Sorry about that. So let's get you right here. And so we've got some questions. Steve has been really functioning as an advocate for the people of South Asia, specifically in the country that I mentioned at the beginning of the service, all right? Which I wasn't supposed to do that with a name, and that was my fault. I'm so sorry. And so I just get excited, all right? And so they probably shouldn't let me talk much. But anyway, he warned me. He did. He warned her. So, but just thankful. He has been an advocate since 2008. Is that right? 2009? 2009, God put on his heart for this specific people, and for the last 10 years, He's been taking teams. Now hear me, I'm thankful for her, but I'm really thankful for him. Amen. Because he's helping say, I'm going to connect the body of Christ Parkway to where the tip of the spear is. And hear me loud and clear. If you get offended when we say the tip of the spear is the darkest place of the world, read the Bible. Okay? Does that make sense? Can I just be that honest with you? Chesterfield County is not the tip of the spear. It's not, all right? Because there's lots of saved people in Chesterfield County. We need to still work hard, and we're going to work hard with Parkway North to reach other parts of Chesterfield County. But we're like the spear. Does that make sense? The tip of the spear is where the darkest place is, where there's the least amount of believers. And we want to put as much light as we can there. Amen? Does that make sense? You follow me? And so, and I know some of you maybe, hey, we're with you, Pastor. I know, but not everybody is. Does that make sense? And so I want you to know, the Bible encourages us to take the light to the darkest place. She lived, she spent the last 6 years of her life, 7 years, 6 years? Six and a half, living in the darkest place of the world. One of the darkest places in the world. We are thankful for you. Can we just go, woo, for King Jesus? Yeah, yeah. So, Steve, you've got some questions for Candy. Go ahead and pepper her with them, man.
Well, if I can steal a line from you, as I'm giddy.
All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah.
Those of you that know me, I don't get giddy very often. This morning, I'm giddy to be able to just to introduce Candy to you, someone we've worked with a bit in the past, and get to spend time when we visit this country that she lives in. So just have a few questions to try to keep me focused, or we'd spend the next 2 hours just chatting here. But anyway, how has God surprised you while you have been serving the nations?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times we have expectations about, like God, you know, tells us in Scripture that he will provide for us, he will protect us, he will love us, he will care for us. And then we kind of have our expectations about how he's going to do that. And I think living in Bangladesh, I've learned that he is faithful to provide for me, to protect me, and to love me. But it hasn't always been in the ways that I thought it was going to be.
Amen. And I had a thought this morning, if the country that she lives in, if you want to get a little bit of a context, this book that I'm going to mention is written in a different country, but a similar context based on a single woman living in a country with a majority religion different than ours. Let's just leave it at that. It's called In the Land of Blue Burkas. If you can get a chance to get a hold of that book and read that, that will give you some fantastic insights to what this woman goes through on a daily basis.
So I'm just going to repeat what you said. In the land of blue what? Burkas. Burkas. Got it. All right. There we go. Keep going.
So the next question, what is the most frustrating part of your ministry?
Well, I kind of thought of two things when I was thinking about this question. One thing is definitely communication. And I have to constantly remind myself that the problem is not them. The problem is me. when I'm trying to communicate in another language and I get frustrated with them because they're not understanding me, but it's actually my problem. And so just prayers for continued growth in my language abilities would be great, and patience. And also, another frustrating thing for me has been, I think really in this last term of mine, me and the other workers in our country, we have really come to realize that the churches there are not very healthy. And they've got a lot of issues. There's a lot of Catholicism that's been mixed in, even Islam that's been mixed in with what churches are teaching and what Christians are believing. And so sometimes when I have Bible study with people, and they will bring these questions to me, and we'll dig into Scripture, and we'll see, what does the Bible say about this? And I've had experiences, well, they'll go back to their pastors and tell their pastors what I've told them and shown them in the Bible, and their pastors will say, that's not true. That can't be true. And so that's really frustrating, too, to try to figure out how, you know, I'm sitting with this person, I'm having Bible study with this person, and I'm trying to help them grow in their faith, and then we want them to be a part of our local church, but then they go to the local church, and their pastors tell them that what Scripture says is not true, and so that's been pretty frustrating as well.
Cool. Now, do me a favor. Stand up as close as you can to this podium.
Okay.
Because I know some folks in the back may not be able to see as well. But also, I want people to see, she is not from South Asia, is she? She is from South Carolina. What part of South Carolina?
Greenville.
Greenville, South Carolina. Anybody love Greenville, South Carolina out there? Yeah? Yep. And so you have one sister, is that right?
I have a younger brother.
You have a younger brother. Mm-hmm. And so you grew up in a home, went to church. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. God called you into missions when?
For me, there's not really a specific point that happened. It was more of a gradual process in my life. So even before I was a Christian, I was even interested in other cultures and had dolls from other countries and enjoyed reading books about, you know, other countries. And then, you know, going to Mission Friends and GAs and ACT Teens, and then becoming a believer and going to, in high school, I worked with Child Dimension Fellowship and has also volunteered with Good News Club, which I hear you guys do too, which is awesome.
We have two that we support. Yeah,
that's awesome. Right. Yeah. And then I went to North Greenville College, and there was a strong missions emphasis there as well. And so just all these things in my life, I kind of got to the point where I was like, I can't do anything else. I know this is what God wants me to do.
Awesome. Yeah. So you left, so that was like high school age or college age where you're like, no, this is where I'm going. It's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I think by the time I was going to college, I knew that I wanted to be a missionary.
And you went to college where?
North Greenville.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah. And all the people said, all right, there you go. And then you went where else after that?
After North Greenville, I went to Southern Seminary.
For
1 year.
And then after that, you went straight to the field, right?
Nope.
All right, what happened?
So after my first year of seminary, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And so I knew at that point I wanted to come home and be with my family. And so I came back home, and it was a pretty difficult time because of course it was difficult because my dad was diagnosed with cancer, but also because I was like, God, what's going on? I thought that, you know, I was trying to follow you. I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do. And in my mind, my plan was either college and then journeyman and then seminary and then back on the field, or college and then seminary and then on the field. Like, that was the two options. And so when it didn't work out that way, I was like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? And so during those about 5.5 years, I ended up working at Starbucks, actually. And it was really cool to hear the testimony earlier, Jackson, of how he was sharing through this coffee shop, because God totally did that for me as well. The Starbucks that I worked at was an international business community, and so every day I was meeting people from other cultures and able to share with my customers, able to share with my coworkers. And also during that time, I was teaching Sunday school at a Korean church, and so the Lord was faithful, even though it wasn't part of my plan, but he used that time in my life to give me a chance to get ready to be overseas.
So if you're a high school college student, I want you to raise your hand high. Raise it high. Come on. High school college student. All right. Post-college student. Keep them up, everybody. Like you're fresh out of college and or maybe college age and you're a young professional. Keep them up. Come on. Keep them up. All right. I have a word for you. You do not have to have your entire life figured out at 22 or 18 or 19 or 25. All right. 40-year-olds, raise your hand. You do not have to have your life figured out at 40 years old. Okay. God has it planned for you. I want you to hear this from her testimony. Hopefully you've heard that from the three today. God will move your journey as he wants. She was just as obedient in taking care of her dad who had cancer as she is obedient following Christ now living in South Asia. Amen. We kind of nod our head at that, but deep down in our heart, we really don't believe that. I want you to hear me on that. God has moved through her life and will continue to move through her life. And I am so thankful that you're here today. Very thankful that you're here today. So anything else you want to tell us at all?
Well, really, I just want to say thank you to you guys. It's really special for me because Parkway, among workers in Bangladesh, I mean, everybody knows Parkway. And so we are just, there's really no other church that's like that for us, where everybody in Bangladesh, everybody.
It's okay. See, she did it.
I did.
Ha! All right.
Where everybody that's there, working knows the church and feels the support of a church. And so we love you guys, and we thank you for your prayers. The people that have sent little gifts to us, little snacks to us, is just a blessing and is awesome. And the list just goes on and on about how you guys have supported us, and we just love you, and we're so thankful for you. And I'm really excited to be here today.
Praise the Lord. We're thankful that you're here, very much so. One of the things that I feel like God's given us a ministry to do is that we like to birth missionaries, meaning we send them out, but we really like to adopt missionaries too, don't we? Yeah, we really do. So I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, we're going to pray and commission you at the end of the service with, we have about 150 people that we're going to be sending out from here, so we'll get some people to lay hands on you then. Is that okay? Can we thank Candy one more time for being here? We're so thankful. Before you go, give us one way that we can pray for you specifically right now, that we can pray for you.
I think just during this stateside time, I came home at the end of April, and my plan is to be here till the end of September. And sometimes I think when we come home, we don't even realize exactly how we need to be refreshed and how we need to rest and what we need to do and not do. And so just that the Lord would guide these days as well and would prepare me for what's next. The plan is to go back, but...
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. We can do that. Well, let me pray for that now, and then we'll lay hands on you later. Father, thank you so much for Candy. Thank you for her willingness to be here today. Father, thank you for the way she was hosted yesterday by so many different people among our fellowship. And Father, I do pray for wisdom. And God, as she has planned her steps, God, would you direct her path, God? Lord, I know your word says a man plans his steps, but the Lord really does make the way straight and does direct our path for us. So would you make that path straight for her as she trusts in you with all her heart? She doesn't lean on her own understanding, but in every way acknowledges you. And we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. Would you thank her again? I'm going to ask the men who are coming to help me with the Lord's Supper, if you would. So what we're about to participate in, if you are a baptized believer, meaning that you've professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you have been baptized, giving public demonstration of your faith in Christ, then we invite you to participate in what we're going to do right now, and this is the Lord's Supper. Jesus told us to do really two things specifically, other than sharing Christ all the time. As we go, we're to make disciples. Those are kind of overarching umbrella obedience to Jesus. But there were some specific things that he told us to do. One was to baptize, and the other was to do the Lord's Supper. And so that's what we're doing right now. The supper represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body, which was Jesus's body, was broken for us. And he told his disciples that when they gathered together, he said, as often as you can, do this in remembrance of me, remembering that it's his sacrifice that makes us possible to be saved. It's his sacrifice that makes us possible to plant churches and send missionaries. And then he also talked about this cup. And the cup is the cup of the new covenant. This wine or this juice represents his blood that was shed for us as a covering for our sins. But praise God, he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose gloriously from the dead. It is a ridiculous thing that someone would come back from the dead. It hasn't happened since then, okay? And it's the one and only time that someone has literally risen themselves from the dead. There are other people who've been risen, but Jesus called them back from death to life. So the reason we gather around this supper today is to look at the resurrection and to look forward to his return. Amen? It's something and it's right for us to do. So we're going to sing a song, and as we do, and we're going to pass this plate together, I'm going to ask that you spend some time talking to the Lord, saying, God, where am I with you? We've talked about a lot of different things today, opportunities to serve. God, are you calling me to go somewhere? Lord, maybe you're calling me to salvation. Maybe you've never been saved. After this service, we're going to be here. We would love to talk to you about your relationship with Christ. However God's speaking to you, maybe you're a believer, you've been baptized, but you just need to repent there before the Lord. I would encourage you to do that as we pass this plate. And then take the supper afterwards. We'll do that together. If you're not a believer in Jesus, your participation in this is simply helping serve somebody else today, all right? So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this table. Lord, thank you, God, for the hands that help prepare this. And God, we truly do look forward to this feast, God, because this is a representation, Father. It's a symbol, God, of how we have new life in you. And so we bless you. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.